enthusiasm for Bitcoin drives the price higher as it debuts on the futures market, and we explain blockchain using Legos.
When you put your Lego bricks down, they've all got super glue on, and you're also being watched very publicly by the rest of the villagers who will know if you're tampering with it.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The debut of Bitcoin futures in Chicago pushed the spot price up about 13% to above $17,000. Now, Bitcoin futures let buyers bet on the future price of the cryptocurrency. So will price increases encourage what many are calling Bitcoin's bubble? Simon Taylor is co-founder of 11FS, a consultancy that advises banks and governments on the future of money.
We're certainly in the middle of Bitcoin mania. Both the price that we would buy Bitcoin at right now has increased, but also the Bitcoin futures price went up by more than 20%, so much so that the SIBO actually halted trading.
So that means that people feel that the price will go up in future?
Almost certainly. Bear in mind, there were very few people that actually bought these futures contracts. So I would pay much more attention to the spot price, in other words, the price at other main exchanges like GDAX or Bitfinex. However, this does look at least like people who have bought those contracts think the price will go up.
Does futures trading stabilize the Bitcoin price, or does it make it more volatile?
In theory, a futures market should stabilize it because you have people who can profit from betting that the price will go down. But it's not obvious that there's a loser when the Bitcoin price goes up. When the price of gold goes up, a jewelry maker might lose out. Consider that the jewelry maker has to use the gold. They have to buy the gold, use the gold, and sell the gold. So they are subject to the price of that gold. Most people are buying Bitcoin just to hold them. And if you're just buying them to hold them or as a speculative asset, who loses if the price goes down? Until we can find that obvious answer, I think the market looks like it could only go up.
Simon Taylor, now even global titans are struggling to make sense of cryptocurrencies. So if you're scratching your head, don't feel inadequate. Digital currencies are just a form of money based on blockchain. What's that? Well, Holly Mackay, founder of Boring Money, has the best explanation of blockchain I've heard so far.
I remember going to the library as a kid and I would take a book out and the librarian would tap stuff into her computer and she held all the records of who had the books. Now, if you imagine, say there's 10 books in the village, there's 20 villagers, you imagine we each get our own coloured Lego block, and there's a docking station, if you like, in the village square for each block. And when I borrow a book, I go and plop my yellow Lego brick down, and then when someone else takes that same book out, they put their red Lego brick on top of mine. I think it's the equivalent of when you put your Lego bricks down, they've all got super glue on, and you're also being watched very publicly by the rest of the villagers who will know if you're tampering with it. And so you start to see there's this public record of ownership, and suddenly we don't need the librarian to do that job anymore. So I think the most exciting thing about blockchain is that it destroys the idea of all these powerful institutions acting as middlemen and record keepers, because blockchain can't be tampered with, it can't be meddled with.
That's Holly Mackay. Let's do the numbers. While Bitcoin mania continues on the futures market, global share indexes are trading in positive territory. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is closed up 325 points, or 1.14%. London's FTSE's leading European shares mostly higher as it climbs 69 points, or 0.7%. Globally, arms sales have increased by nearly 2%. That's according to a new report out today that breaks down the biggest producers. Dr. Odd Florent looks at military expenditure for the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute.
The primary arms producer is definitely the United States, which is followed closely by the United Kingdom and then by either Russia or Germany and France. These are all very large arms producers, and they have exhaustive and comprehensive arms producing capabilities. For the US, you're looking at a total sales of approximately $217 billion for 2016 for all the U.S. companies involved. So that's quite a large amount of money. It's about a 4% increase, which may seem to be somewhat modest, but overall, it actually drives the top 100 upward trends that we've been observing for 2016.
And what about the customers? I mean, who is buying these increased numbers of weapons?
For all of the countries cited, the main customer is usually the National Ministry of Defense or Department of Defense. These are the main sources of revenues for all of these companies. They do export significantly depending on the time. There's a lot of tension with China over territorial sovereignty. And this has led the countries in Southeast and East Asia to buy equipment that they didn't have before, such as submarine patrol aircraft, surface ships. And these are all due to tensions and anticipation of a conflict and higher threat perception.
One of the countries that features in your report is not a country you tend to think about when talking arms sales, and that's South Korea. Why?
Well, South Korea has been in a region that has been very tense and very volatile. So they actually set up an arms industry, and we're now seeing the results. The economic situation was good recently, so that meant that there were investments in arms procurement, domestic arms procurement.
Dr. Aud Florent, finally, it's Green Monday, that online shopping day when you realize you got to order in time for Christmas delivery. Last year, Green Monday sales peaked at $1.6 billion. And if watching Hamilton in London is on your Christmas list, be prepared to pay upwards of $8,000 a seat. That's what they're reselling for, even though the production firm behind the play are warning they've banned ticket resales and they will turn away fans who hold them. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.